Kosai. So we're talking about two categories of Isurim, Isur Gavra and Isur Cheftza. So I saw something here in the Shiurim of Rav Guzman, and I was very, very excited about it. And I hope I'll be able to bring you on board in my great excitement over this piece. You know, Rav Guzman was an outstanding Magid Shir and a Lamdin. Maybe he wasn't appreciated enough by the Dor, I don't know.
He said that himself.
Possibly the reason is because his printed works are very extensive, and I think I find that people in our generation are ADD, I don't know what it is, but they need it in one sentence. You know, you can't keep going on for pages and pages. But what I tried to do here is, you'll see pages 70, 73, and 74. 73 will say Lamed Zion on it, because it switches from page from the numbers to the Hebrew letters. So I'm skipping a number of pages here just to point out the main points for our purposes. Okay. Now, here's the question. We have a concept that's called Hezek She'eino Nikar, which means that I destroy something of yours, not in a physical way, but in a legal way. So for example, if I take your heter and I mix it into a taroves of Isur, and as a result it becomes Osur in that taroves, then I've in effect, I have prevented you from enjoying the benefit of your object, because it now becomes Osur. Let's assume it's Osur by Noah. And therefore, it's a Hezek, and you could sue me for compensation. But the only problem is, it's a Hezek She'eino Nikar. So the Gemara presents in Bava Kamma two opinions about Hezek She'eino Nikar. Now, let's assume, for our purposes, that Hezek She'eino Nikar Shmei Hezek. And in this case, you're chayv in Tashlume Nezikin. What happens in a case of a suffix? We're not sure exactly what the ratio between the heter that fell into the Iser is, how much Iser was there and how much heter there was. And in such a case, or alternative, let's say you add chaticha achas v'shtei chaticha. So any chaticha that I pick up, there's a 50% chance that it's Iser. And in such a case, the Torah applies the principle of Safik Doraisa L'chumra. If you assume that Hezek She'eino Nikar Shmei Hezek, what should be the din in such a case? He should be chayev. What's the difference? Asks the Rosh Yeshiva, whether it's Aser B'Torah Safik or B'Torah Zvadai, since the Torah says Sveika Doraisa L'chumra, at the end of the day, he has absolutely no use for his heter. He's going to have to throw it into the rubbish. Why is he going to have to throw it into the rubbish? Because Safik Doraisa L'chumra. Correct? So here's where Rav Guzman has a problem. He says, I don't understand why there should be any difference here between an Isur B'Toras Vadai or an Isur B'Toras Safek. And he says the following. Kimo, this is on line 5. Kimo B'Isur Vadai. If I take heter of yours and I make it into Isur Vadai, chayav according to this money, I'm going to have to pay, even though it's Hezek She'eino Nikar. Is Hachinami here too? Afilu Isuro, even if the Isur is mi halacha shel Sveika Doraisa L'chumra, Nami Yechayev mi din Vadai, came under Sof, Hare Osirhu, Velo Shav Yamidi. At the end of the day, there's nothing that he could do to benefit from this heter. It's gone in the Taroves, even if it's B'Torah Safek, but the Torah says L'chumra, is Mali. What difference to make whether it's Isuro Midin Vadai, Mali, Isuro Midin Safek, or a Hezek, as far as measuring the Hezek, the damage that was done, and the loss to the owner, the Nizak, Ein Shum Nafkemina Mizeh. And he doesn't understand what's going on. So in order to try to justify why the Gemara thinks that maybe even if I hold Hezek Shein Nikar Shmei Hezek, in the case of Safek, he has no rights, no claim for damages, he says, let's see a sugya later on in Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Tzadi Tes Amid Beis, and the Gemara has a case of a shechita. Now, we're not going to get into the intricacies of the laws of psuei shechita, but there was a safek in the shechita, whether it's a shechita kshera or not. This was a case of shachat mitoch achas miatabos, but higrim chutz bein tabas letabas vehishir mole achut al pnei ruba. And that's going to be a machlokes between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that it's kosher, and Rabbanon is going to say that it's not kosher, treif. And the Gemara says that in such a case, patre latabach milishlume dami. The shochet, again, you have to know that this is a very complicated sugya. I think we may have touched upon it here in this very room, but about whether an uman has to pay if he does a pshia in the Maisa Umnus, and he didn't do it deliberately, but in any event here, the shochet who's being paid to shech properly, now he messed up the shechita. And the Gemara says that it's a safek lahalocha, kiman, we don't know whether we paskin according to Rabbanon, who say it's treif, or according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi, who says it's kosher. And therefore, in such a case, the nidon, or shall I say the mazik, who's the nidon in this case, has a right to say, you know what? Who says the halacha is like chachamim? Maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. And if we apply the principle of what? Hamotzi mechavero, all of Araya. So the Gemara says that the mazik has a right to say to the nizak that even though, as far as hilchas shechita is concerned, and the permissibility or lack thereof of eating the meat is going to be prohibited, because maybe the halacha is like whom? Like the chachamim, they make it treif. But nevertheless, the mazik has a right to say, maybe the halacha is like whom? Like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's kosher. Hare lehedja, you see explicitly, demasha asru midin safek, that which is asur, but only midin safek, ein al zech yuv tashlumen shel nezikin. And I don't have to pay you, and you can't force me to pay you compensation for nezikin, because it's midin safek, the afal pi, even though at the end of the day, asur bachilas midin safek lechumra. So as far as Dine Safek Doraisa Lechumra to pronounce the Isur, that works Lechumra, and there's no difference here between Safek and Vaday. The Torah says you have to be Machmir probably Inyan Mamon, but as far as Mamon is concerned, we go back to Safek Mamon Lekula, which means Amotzi V'Chavero, and I have the right to say that maybe we paskin that it's Mutter, even though Lemaisa, I can't enjoy the benefit of this meat. So basically, just to summarize, Rav Gusman has proven, he's established based on a sugya in Bava Kama, that if you have a suffix iser and we apply the principle of suffix deraisa lechumra, nevertheless, even according to Mani Omar, who maintains that hezek sheino nikar shmei hezek, nevertheless, the nidon, the mazik, the nidon is potur, and you can't sue him for damages because it's a suffik, even though the suffik iser is lechumra. And he doesn't understand why mali suffik, mali vadai, in both cases, the nizak has lost any benefit that he can have from this object. Now we're going to fast forward here by skipping a few pages, only because we don't have the time, otherwise it's beautiful, to page Lamed Zayin, which is, I think, the equivalent of page 73, if I remember correctly. But you don't have to know that. You just have to find the Lamed Zayin on the top left. You have such a thing?
Yes, yeah,
okay. So in this section, which starts on the bottom right with number Vav, he quotes a different sugya. This is the sugya of Hezek She'eino Nikar, in the case of a coin that was thrown to the bottom of the sea. Now, in theory, if you hire a very expert team of submarine underwater divers, you know, you can probably find them at Be'ah on the bottom of the sea. It may take you, you know, bismashiach time. It may take you a good couple of millennia. But Amar Rabba, Zorik mat Be'ah shal chaver liyam agadol potur. You know, this Gemara of Rabba always bothered me. I mean, it's like, ethically, I took your mat Be'ah, I threw it down in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea or the Atlantic Ocean, and I'm potter. Why am I potter? My timer. Hamanach kamach. The matbea is there, seated or sitting in front of you, and therefore the mazik has the right to say the nizak ibois shakle. You want your coin back? Go get sea divers, or maybe you yourself have to learn how to do underwater, you know, this thing, they go to a lot for this, you pay a lot of money, and scuba dive down to the bottom of the sea.
And who's going to fund the divers?
Excellent question. So that's also part of the sugya. But what I wanted to do again, Sam, only because I'm trying to get to a certain point, is I'm trying to sort of cut hedges here.
I'm just causing trouble.
Yeah, no, that's good. Everything that you say is in the Gemara itself. But Rav Gusa wants to say that we see something amazing here about the law of damages and when you have the rights to be Tovea Nezikin. He says the following. Hine, this is about line 10 on the left column. He says, Hine bezorek matbea liyam imu ba'ofen shotzos ha'elosa minayam olim yosa mishiva matbea. If it's going to cost them more to get down to the bottom of the sea, if Yala Osa, if he's even possibly miraculously successful in finding it, Hare Yafsid Yosef Ikiso, he's going to lose more than he gains. Hare Beofen Zeh, Hifsida Hamadbea Kol Shavya. Ask the Mazik, I'm sorry, the Nizak, what is his coin worth? So the coin is worth 10, but in order to retrieve it, he has to pay 20, he has to pay 100. So what's it worth to him? At this point, it's worth nothing. He has no, there's no value that he can attribute to this coin. So that means that the Mazik took his coin and made it into valueless coin. Again, we're holding that Hezek Shein Anika Shmei Hezek. So at least the Torah's Hezek Shein Anika Shmichayev, at the end of the day, he doesn't have the object, he has no value left to the object. So imagine on both sides, if Reuven could be Mazik Shimon in a way that he does a magical wand over the coin and the coin is now worthless. Why shouldn't he pay for that? Hezek Shein Anika Shmei Hezek. Al Karchov, says the Rosh Hashiva, you have to derive a very fundamental conclusion about Tashlumei Nezikin. Delo Nemar Din Mazik El B'Mafsid U'Ma'abed Guf HaChefetz. Please emphasize and underline the words Guf HaChefetz over and over again. Because this is going to give us that Chefetz issue, you know, the Chefetz issue. V'Lorak Shivui Mamon Shebo. So again, I did something to make your object valueless, I'm put. Why? Because I wasn't master the chefetz. If the chefetz still exists, then that's not called tashlumei nezikin. Now again, on a moral ethical level, in terms of what's called chiyuv b'dei shamayim, that's a whole different story. But he's talking about chiyuv b'dei adam. And the Torah wants to say that the machayev and the nezikin is destroying the object. If the object is still there, then that's not considered ibud, and therefore he's not chayv in the zikin. Now fast forward to the left column on page 74. Ulefi yisod hanal she'ein chiyuv nezikin el b'mafsid ha'chefetz mu'ma'abdo min ha'olam harei anu mukhrochim lomar deba'oser dvar chavero she'chayv l'shalim min ha'torah l'man yomer hezek nikar eni nikar shmei hezek. Okay, Hainu the chefetz ha'asur ein lo hishtamshus. He says the following: if you hold hezek shein anikar shmei hezek, if I can take your chefetz and make it into a chefetz disura, then ein ochinami, I was ma'abid your chefetz. This chefetz now has no hishtamshus, and therefore you have rights as a nizak to sue me for damages. Harehu, let's compare it to Michael sheyesh bo ra'al. Right? Let's say I pour poison into your food in such a way that you can't separate the poison from the food. Then that's considered changing or converting your object into something that has no what? Yeah. Has no ishtamshus. If it has no ishtamshus, that's called avud min ha'olam. Correct? But he says the following. He says, "Next, Enochinami, if I could create in your Cheftedei Torah a status of a Cheftedei Surah, that's equivalent to putting Raul into your object. Is Nasahu Nechavu Kibigidri Atorkim Mafsiv Ovim and Olam." And here he gets to Sam's metaphysics, the Gemara in Chulin, that a Dover Aser is Mitamte Mesalev. I'll prove to you that it's like Raul, because on a spiritual level it's Meshaki, it's a Nefesh, and he gets very dramatic here, Menafsha Shalodim Kotzav, Achilas Isur, V'ein Royal Ishtamshus. He says that this is considered Ein Royal Ishtamshus. So if I convert your Chefta that Teir into Nevelis and Trefis, then Ein Chinami, that's called Ibud Min Olam, because I added poison to your object, and therefore you have to pay me for that. But now we get to the bottom left, and he says the following: the kaven shezochinu lazeh yeturet zlanu v'siat ishmai barvacha kushasenu anal bios beis lama potar amazik. What about the case that we saw on page? What page was it? Page Lamed Zayin on Daf Tzadi Ches. Correct? And we had a sugya also, if you recall, back on page 70. And that was the sugya of Tzadites, the case of Hagrama in Shechita, where it's a suffix whether we pass like the Chachamim or like Rabbi Yehuda as to whether or not the animal is a treif or not. And he says the following: Loma Potter Amasik. Why is the Shochet Potter here? After all, we said it's a Sufik Isur. And if it's a Sufik Isur, the Torah says Sufik Dorais L'Chumra, so he can't benefit from the object. Why isn't it Ovid Min Ola? Says Rav Gustman, Maishna Sufik Isur Mivadei Isur. You're asking me what's the difference whether it's Sufik or not. There is a fundamental difference. Kavan, right, and this is all part of his Kasha, and you'll ask me, but Sufik Isur before me did it, right? It's all Asur. Hareya Hezek Kamov, he's just reiterating the Kasha. He says Lefid Varei Nuchalom Pashtus. He calls it Pashtus. I wouldn't call it Pashtus, but he says Pashtus. De Vadai, De Dafka Vadai, Nevela, On Vadai Trefa, Harezek Dovra Nifsad, Vinevad Mina Olam. If it's Nevela Trefa, then for sure it's Raal, and it's lost from the world. The Isur Tamshus is inherent in the object. Now let's look at Sufik Nevela. We don't know how to treat this Sufik. We don't know if it's Nevela or if it's Kosher. But there's a 50% chance that Klapi Shmaya Galia, that up in heaven where the truth is known, okay, Lo B'Shamayim, but anyway, Shehi Shchuta, then really we paskin like Rav Yossi and Rav Yudav Rav Yossi that it's Kosher. And therefore it's Kshera. So now when I look at this Ochel, I don't know exactly what its status is. I really don't know. If its status is that of Nevelin Trefa, then Enochinami have to pay for that as a Mazik. But if on the other hand the status is Kapishmaya Gali, that it's Heter, is therefore it's Heter. So at the end of the day, Rabosai, is there Raal here or is there not Raal here? Nobody knows, except up in Shammai. You're not allowed to eat it. Why aren't you allowed to eat it? Right? Ha'isur v'asu li'ochla. You're not allowed to eat it. Why? Because Shema eat trefa. Maybe it's trefa. And therefore the Torah turns to you and says, you're not allowed to eat it. Ulam isur zehu rak isur derochiv akarkafta de gavra. Because he has to enjoin himself and separate himself from it. Aval eino mishanes ha'mitzius. The Torah's not saying that this is Nevelu Trefa Mitoris Vadai. We still don't know whether it's Nevelu Trefa. Kapishmaya Gali Be'emes Ksherahi, it could be 50%. Umemela Ein Chiyuv Mazik Bishvil Hefsid Moment Zeh. Why? Because if the Yisoda Yisodos of the Chiyuv Tashlumim Mazik is because of the Hefsid HaChefetz, the Mazik has a right to say to the Nizak, maybe Kapishmaya Gali, that it's not Raal, and it's not Metamte Mesalev, and we pass it at the Shechit is a Shechit Ksheira. Again, you can't enjoy it, but the Chefetz itself is not necessarily Ovid Min Olam. It might not be Ovid Min Olam. The kevon shebechefetz be'etzem. Okay, this is This is fascinating because Rav Guzman was somewhat influenced by the Telzer approach to learning, so that's why he adds the word be'etzahem, and that's a philosophical term. Okay, not for our discussion now, but anyway, he says a chayfetz be'etzahem eino avud min olam. There's a 50% chance that the chayfetz is not avud. So what do you do in a case of a 50% chance that it's not avud? For example, I don't know how much it would cost you to pay the deep sea divers to retrieve this coin that's on the bottom of the Mediterranean. Would it cost more than the value of the coin, or would it cost less than the value of the coin? Maybe you could shop around to get the cheapest deep sea divers, right? You look for a good deal. And therefore, if I don't know, then the mazik has a right to say to the nizak that there's no ibur achefetz, because where's your coin? It's on the bottom of the sea. You could see it. Go down to see the deep sea dive and get it and retrieve it. And therefore, there's no nevad v'nefsed min olam. So there's a 50% chance if I'm confused about. So I have a right to say to you, I'm motzi mechayv l'rayi. The burden of proof is on you, the nizak, to force me, the mazik, to pay by claiming it's nifsad v'nevad. I don't know if it's nifsad v'nevad. And therefore, a suffik isur is also a case of a suffik nifsad v'nevad. V'shapir potur midin amotzi mechayv l'rayi k'mo kol suffik mazik.
What's the age?
Yeish? You're asking about Yeish?
No, what if he ate it?
Oh, if he ate it?
Yeah, he ate it. Suffered,
you mean, would he get Malkus?
Yeah, he wouldn't get Natya Rice.
Certainly not according to Rav Guzman. I don't know, there may be someone out there who'd say he gets Malkus. I don't know. But right. Rav Guzman would say there's a 50% chance that he's eating basa kosher. How can he get Malkus?
That's right.
But Vesna would definitely stop him from eating it.
Yeah, that's right. My tradition also means Rabosai, again, I don't want to belabor the point because some of you are geniuses and you catch it on the first time around. But for me, you know, I like to review things in my mind. The Havamita Rav Guzman, when he asked his kasha, is a very strong Havamita. He's saying that if I cause you a loss because you cannot benefit, no way, no how. You don't have a spaceship that will go up to Shemayim and find out whether or not we paskin this way or we paskin that way. And therefore, there's no way under the heavens that you can enjoy the benefit of this object. Why doesn't the mosque have to pay for that? You know, you can hear Rav Guzman yelling and screaming his cash out.
Yeah, but there's a difference in the Gemara that he brings.
You want to give a different answer to his question.
By Zerg Magbeliom, the Gemara qualifies it that it's mind slulin and that you can actually see the Magbeya. So in essence, it really is be'en.
Right.
It's something which you can do. Here by the busser, what can you do? There's no alternative. There's no way to solve the problem.
You're right that you could do something because you see the coin on the bottom of the sea.
Really,
but the yesod, Rav Guzman says, is that if I have something that I could see, but it's inaccessible to me, then basically you've caused me an absolute loss. Again, assuming the following mitzvahs, the facts on the ground are there's no way that I can get access to this coin. Therefore, it has no shavius to me. So again, I could see it. So what if I could see it? That's brilliant. It's wonderful. You could see it. Go ahead. But what does that do for me? It does me nothing. You caused me in a direct way that this object is low. Again, it might be grama, then you have to get... But that's the issue of Hezek Shein Anikar. That Hezek Shein Anikar may be grama. But we're posking now that Hezek Shein Anikar... Shmei Hezek, and I don't mean paskin la'aloch, but I'm saying for our purposes. So according to that svar of Hezek Shein Anikar, you took my object, put it in a place where it's worthless for me. So what if I could see it? It's worthless. Says Rav Guzman, you see a gevaldige chiddush here, that the fact that you could see it means the object is not avud min ha'olam. It's worthless to you, but it's not avud min ha'olam. Says Rav Guzman, in the case of Sofik Yisa L'chumra, it's not avud min ha'olam. It's worthless for you. There's nothing you can do with this piece of flesh. You can't do anything. You can't give it to your dog. It's also about, no, it's everything. Why? Because the Torah says Sofik D'Oraisa L'chumra. But ask me a different question. Is it avud min ha'olam? Then says Rav Guzman, one second, let me just see if I can work it out, Rav Osei. Then says Rav Guzman, no, it's not avud min olam. Why? I don't know if it's basa kosher or not. Is there ra'al? Is there not ra'al? Is it a cheftad isur? Is it not a cheftad isur? Again, Rav Guzman is not questioning the assumption that a veilus and treifus is a cheftad isura. You remember that we discussed last week the Ritva sheet. The Ritva wants to say the Nevela Chayf is only because of Milas Yisrael, but there's nothing inherently wrong with the Chayf. No, he's going with metaphysics. It's shakuts and it's dust. He has the whole dramatic thing, the poetry here. You know, it's terrible for the body and the Chsam Sofa that we discussed last week and everything else. So it's a Chefzidi Surah. But is it a Chefzidi Surah? Is it not? The Mazik has the right to say, I'm an Ibra Chacham, and I know that it's not a Chefzidi Surah. Do me something. Prove to me that I'm wrong. And if he can't prove to me I'm wrong, then there's at least a 50% chance to say that it's not Ovid Mina Olam. It's the healthiest piece of meat on a spiritual level you could ever find. It was shechted with Sadmar Shechita. It's Tar V'Kadosh. What do you want from my life? And I'm going to have to pay you? These are Motsu Mechamel and Mariah. You go fly a kite. So it's an amazing thing. He says that the reason why I can't enjoy the benefit of this meat is because of the karkafta the gavra. But as far as the cheft is concerned, maybe it's the healthiest, kosherest piece of meat in the world. Kapish mayagav.
Why does he, and for that matter, Rav and the Gemara, why do they give no weight to the klal we have, the yachad ram halachah rav? I mean, it's not a 50-50.
I don't know. That you have to see the details of the sugya. Both, I put as much time as I can into this. I don't know if you realize how much time, you know, I am teaching a few other classes, so, but I tried to do whatever I best I could. Now you're asking me, what about the principle of Yochid Rav, Maloch, Rav? I don't know. I think that halach was never paskin. You have to know a lot about Psule Shechita, about Agroma. I came into Chulin after most of the year I spent in Yeshiva here in Yerushalayim, so the part of Chulin about Psule Shechita I missed, you know. And to this day, I don't know beans about Psule Shechita. Don't ask me how I got smicha. That's a story in unto itself. How did I get smicha without knowing beans of absolute shechita? That's a different question.
I have two things. First of all, the mazik does not have the taina that he paskins like the other person. He just said, I don't know.
So yeah, I don't mean that. There is a principle called Lididi. The yadi, you know, that you don't need that.
Okay. But my other thought is that if you want to draw a real parallel between my Tzlulim and the Suffolk, whether it's Usher, then even if there is no way for a sea diver to get it out, it still is not called Oven Man Olam, just like the Suffolk over here, whether it's Nevela or not. There is no way for, he's not saying I'm waiting a real not real come in 5 minutes. Even if there is no way.
Sam, if I remember again, you check the details on Sadi Test, that if there's no way you can retrieve it, then it's called Ovid Min
Olam. There's no way you can
exactly,
be married.
Exactly. Because you can see it.
Wait a second. No, Sam, you're comparing apples and oranges here.
Yes.
1 second, that's not a fair analogy. Why? Because in case A, there's a reality question here. Not a halachic question, a reality question. The reality question is, can I retrieve this or can I not? Correct? So you're telling me I cannot retrieve it. There's no way under the sun that I can retrieve it. That's called Ovid Min Olam.
Then
I have to pay you for that. Then I have to pay damages because it's Ovid Min Olam. Now talk about a halachic issue. In a halachic issue, even if I can't enjoy it, but I don't know the status of the object, is the mitzius of the object in a halachic sense that it's heter? Or is it Easter? If it's Heta, I didn't do you any damage. What did I do? I did a Shechita Kshera. So, Rav, you should be paying me for the Shechita instead of suing me for damages. But if on the other hand,
you make sure you're saying basically that it's not a Nesachet. That's
correct. So why am I excited about this, Rav Osai? There are, I don't know what word to use, skeptics, okay? Let's call it skeptics. I'm not trying to be pejorative, Chas V'Shalom. But there are skeptics who wonder about the whole Derech Halimut. You know, what do we need it for? He's a Gavri, he's a Chefta, it's so abstracted, it's like splitting hairs, and it doesn't have any halachic significance. My purpose and my goal, my agenda, and I admit my agenda, I'm not denying it, from square one, from the get-go, as we started, what is it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I don't remember when we started, is to try to prove to you that if you don't understand the difference between an Issa Gavra and Issa Chefta, then you remind me of the guy who looks at the Rembrandt painting and he says, the problem is not in the Rembrandt painting, it's your problem. Because I'm showing you that there are halachic significance, and this is a chelik of Torah. This is not something that Reb Chaim invented just to try to impress you with the brisket derech halimut. you may not always understand, and I may not always understand the difference between an Issa Gavra and an Issa Chefta, but I'm showing you, and if you would review all the shiurim that I gave on since we started together 2 weeks ago, whenever we started, you will see that my agenda is always to prove to you that it cuts ice, as the lawyers say. There's an afgemina halacha l'maisa, whether you call it Issa Chefta, Issa Gavra. We'll soon see, I don't know, Yechiel, did I give you the Asfin Doraisa? I don't know. You'll soon see that this genius, literally a genius amongst geniuses, his name is Rabbi Yosef Engel, spends 10 pages to try to search and investigate through Shas when you call something an Issa Gavra, when you call it an Issa Chefta. So this is, and he was not really influenced by Reb Chaim. I mean, he was about maybe a younger contemporary Reb Chaim, but it's there, okay? It's there. And Rav Gusman has a beautiful application here to this issue of Suffolk. Now look, if I were to disagree with Rav Gusman, I wouldn't disagree with him on a methodological level. I would disagree with him about the nature of Suffolk d'oraisa l'chud. And I would say, and I think it's a valid approach, but again, it's not going to help me work through all the sugyas and answer all the kashas that Rav Gusman wants to answer here, that maybe when the Torah says Sofik Torah Isla Chumra, the Torah says that is an Isa Chefta. The Torah says treat it as if it's Nevela.
That's probably what it gets into at the bottom that you're not citing, right?
Oh, I didn't see. He actually backtracks on this?
No, he says, should we relate it whether it's within Sufik or within Vade or not?
Oh, yeah.
And he says no, and then the page ends.
I have the book.
Okay.
Well, maybe I left it home, and that's why I made the photocopies. I don't remember. Did I bring it in? No, I think I brought it here.
It's right here.
Okay. Then you can take a look at the next page. But again, you know, this is the old Chakira about how Suffolk Lechumra works. But right now, in order to answer Paul's questions, he is presenting the view that Suffolk remains a Suffolk. And if it remains a Suffolk, then I'm Otsim Machavel Araya, because you don't know if it's a Cheftzid Isura. Is it Raal or is it not Raal? I don't know. Nobody can testify if it's Raal or not. So again, what would you... Let me ask you this, Rav Osai. If I would mix into your food as something that might be a row, what are you going to do? You're going to eat it? You'd have to be suicidal to eat it, right? But in Dine Momentus, you can't force me to pay you for that. Because I have a right, I mean, Sam says it's not me, but the halach has a right to say to you, go prove that it's poisonous. And until we've proven that it's poisonous, the ball is in your court.
He says something to Rasul Khumam with their eyes that cannot apply to you soon. Can only apply to a chiv.
Let's move on. Because I think that in the light of this chiddush of Gusman, we can have a new, fresh appreciation for Rav Meir Simcha Midvinsk. The Or Sameach. Now, did everybody get a copy of the Or Sameach, or am I holding on to it, you feel?
No, everyone has it.
Everyone has it. Okay, good. Great. So this, it should say on the top right, it should say page 146. Am I right? Everybody has that? Okay. Or Sameach, and this is Hilchos Chametz Umatzah.
So he basically says it remains in the Sagat, not in the Chet.
Right, but I'm just saying that Sam, if I would want to be, you know, if I'd want to be argumentative, I would take a different approach and say that Sofi Dorais L'chumra is B'Torah's Vada and it's an Isur Chet, if I want. Again, it's not going to help me answer all this.
He says even if it's B'Torah's Vada, it's not Chet.
Okay.
That's Pashto's thing.
Okay, but I would say like this. If it's the Torah's Vaday, there's more of a reason to say...
Definitely.
You know, more support to say it's an Isur Heft.
Yes.
Okay, that's, I think, intuitive. Now, why he calls it an Isur Gavra, even if it's the Torah's Vaday, I don't... That part I didn't see. Okay, Rabosa. What do you have in front of you? Do you have a page that looks like this that says Sofnas Padeach on it?
Have that.
You have that? It's from the Encyclopedia Talmudit?
Yeah, okay. The end.
I'm sorry, it's from Bar Ilan, I meant to say.
Yeah.
It's three pages from the end.
Okay. I want to thank Yechiel for taking the tircha of photocopying this for me, because you know, my head was wrapped around Eliezer and Avraham and such tzaddikim like Laban and Besuel. I didn't get a chance to photocopy all these pages, so Yechiel took that off my head. Now, I know there's a staple in your packet, so it's going to be almost virtually impossible to do what I want you to do here. What I'd like you to do, in theory, is have in front of you open on your right side the Arsameach and on your left side the Tzofnas Paneh. And I'll tell you why. Because I think that the Arsameach, who came from what city?
Tvinsk.
And the Tzofnas Paneh, who came from what city? Tvinsk, right? They were both contemporaries in the same city of Tvinsk.
Where's Tvinsk?
Tvinsk is in Lithuania. Today, if you look it up on the map, it's called Daugavpils. Yeah, I tried to get there when I was in Latvia, but I didn't have the right visas, and it was under the Soviet Union, so under the communists, so I didn't make it to Daugavpils. But I met a young boy in Latvia, in Riga, who actually had a beautiful picture of the Rugachev, a real McCoy photograph of the Rugachev. In the Tzofnas Paneach, by the way, both of these pieces that you have in front of you come from commentaries on the Rambam, Hilchas Chametz Umatzah. However, the first one, the one from the Tzofnas Paneach, comes from Perek Aleph, and the second one from Rabbi Simcha comes from Perek Vav. So we're looking at a Rambam in Perek Aleph, and we're looking at a Rambam in Perek Vav. Now, in the case of the Tzofnas Paneach, he has here a principle which he develops and he evolves based on both Bavli and Yerushalmi, but mostly based on Yerushalmi, that there's a difference between what he calls a Taroves Iser Veheter and a case of a suffix whether the Iser ever emerged or not. Do you follow that difference? Because that's going to come up in a different part of our Derech HaLimud, not for months down the line, but there's a difference between A, where you have an Isur, and the Isur gets mixed up into Heter, as opposed to B, where there's an issue about whether the Isur ever emerged to begin with, whether or not there was ever an Isur to start with. So, for example, he has a sugya about Chometz Bechatzi Shir. And there you're not sure when he fermented the bread, and it was unclear as to whether or not he had a full shear of a kezias. There he says the suffek is nolad im yesh chametz or im ein chametz. Do we have chametz or do we not? Because we're not sure if chatzi shear is chametz or not. It depends on how you learn chatzi shear. As opposed to that, you have a case of something that's absolutely certainly chametz, and it got mixed up in a tarofis. Now, he postulates that distinction is very relevant to kelayim. When I speak about kelayim, I mean kelayim begodim. So if you take a look, for example, five lines down from the top, he has a Rambam in Hilchas Kelayim Perek Yud with regard to tzemer gmalim v'tzemer rechelim. Okay, these are two different species, and they were mixed together. So you made a kelayim between tzemer gemalim and tzemer rechelim. Now, in the laws of kelayim, this is not called kelayim yet, because although there was a taroves, you need in kelayim what's called shua tovi v'notz. In other words, you have to actually sew them together. And what happened is that this mixture took place before the taroves, took place before the tviya. And if it was before the tviya, your suffix is whether or not you have kelayim to begin with, as opposed to a case where you have tviya and you have already kelayim of tzemer of this species with tzemer of that, and then it falls into a taroves. And he goes on to prove, based on the Rambam, that although in a case of taroves it would be asur, in this case where it was kodem tviya, it would be mutter. Okay, then just accept that as sort of axiomatic for the time being. See, he wants to suggest then maybe the halacha would bend and be more flexible in a case of chametz that fell into a taroves before Pesach. Because he wants to suggest that just like we have a case of a suffix where we don't know whether or not the Isur Shem Chametz B'Torah Isur emerged or not, and we want to be more makil there, as opposed to when we know for sure it's Chametz and then it got mixed up, he wants to make the analogy to a case of Nisarev Kodem HaPesach. And perhaps he says we could push the agenda and say Kishayavo HaPesach Lo Yachol Olav Shem Chametz. Why? Because if it was already mixed in the Tarovas before the Shem Chametz emerged, then we could be more makil and say in that case the Tarovas prevents the Shem Chametz from being Chal to begin with. And wait a second, we'll see about that later. I mean, but let's see the way the Tzoftes Venech adds a whole new formulation. So if you want to make a note of it, I put a dot. I don't know, did that come out in the photocopy?
Yes.
Oh, good, good, good. Ach Yei Shlomer, do you have that?
Yeah.
Dezeh Talya, and this may be what Alan was referring to, Im Chametzu Iser Bi'atzmi, again, this is philosophical jargon, Sha'asur Li'ochlo B'Pesach. Okay, so the Chametz is Asur in and of itself. When does the Iser actually emerge from the potential to the actual? That's only going to be on Pesach. But even before Pesach, the Chametz is Asur. Okay? Or should we say the other way? B'Pesach Asur Lechol Chametz. That this object was not Chametz until now, but on Pesach it becomes Asur. Now, I'm going to say what I have to say, and again, everybody here is obviously allowed to disagree. I think, in my humble opinion, that although he doesn't use the jargon right now of Iser Gavra and Iser Chefta, I think that's what he has in mind. He's saying like this: if Chametz is also inherently in the Chefta, then even before Pesach, one could argue, I mean, nothing changed on Pesach. The Chefta, the Chametz didn't change. It's also even before Pesach. And you can't say this longest, that because the Tarovas took place before Pesach, therefore we can be Mekil and say that the Tarovas prevents the Shem Chametz from being Chal. But if on the other hand, Chametz is only an Isa Gavra, then what engenders, what sets off that Isur? Pesach itself. Before Pesach, there's no Isur Gavra to set it off. But now hold on for a few more minutes just to see the picture. He says the following. He thinks, a conclusive proof, one way or the other, to this Chakira, based on analysis, and again, this is only the Rogachov could have this Yudias, this Bikias, from the Rambam and Hilchus Trumos. What happens in Hilchus Trumos? You know that if a Tzar eats Truma B'Shogeg, in addition to paying Keren, he also has to pay what? Chomesh. He has to add another penalty of a Chomesh. However, if, for example, the Tzar eats Truma, which was already Asur, regardless of the fact that he's a Tzar eating Truma, in other words, if there's an independent Iser in this, let's say, for example, he gives the example of Yayin, right? There's something called Yayin Shel Truma, and the Tzar is drinking Yayin Shel Truma, and he does it B'Shogeg. And now the question is, does he pay Keren and Chomesh or not? So the halacha is that if that Yayin Shel Truma was Asur Mitzad Acher, it was already Asur, forget about the fact that it's Truma, then he's Potter from Chomesh. That's the Rambam. Says the Rambam, what happens if a Tzar eats Truma on Yom Kippur? And the Rambam paskins in Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Aleph of Hilchus Trumos, that he has to pay Keren V'Chomesh. And why? Okay, let me flesh out the question. Why is this different than the following case? If a Nazir drinks Yayin Shel Truma, he's a Nazir who's a Tzar. He's got two strikes against him. No. Nazir is actually a higher level of Kedusha. But anyway, he's not allowed to drink wine for two different reasons. Number one, he's not a Kohen. And number two, he's a Nazir. So the Rambam paskins in such a case that he's potter from the Chomesh. why is it that if a Nazir drinks Yayin Shel Truma B'Shogeg and the Rambam Paskin said he's Potter from Chomesh, where if a Zar drinks Yayin Shel Truma on Yom Kippur, he's Chayev Chomesh? So to answer this question, I just messed up my pen, but that doesn't matter. The Rugged Shabbat says the following: that in the case of Yom HaKippurim, why does he have to pay Keren V'Chomesh? Deha Iser Hu Al Hazman. You have that, Rabosai? Can you underline those words? Deha Iser Hu Al Hazman. Masha Enkin, he says, in the case of Nazir, which he's enjoined from drinking wine, he says, Ha Iser Uhu Al Hadavar. He doesn't speak, I wouldn't give him a great grade for pedagogy here. I mean, he's very short-lived, short-worded here. You know, he's like a kvad peh almost. But he expects us to delve into the plummets of what he's saying here. But basically, Rabosai, he's saying the following: that once a person is a Nazir, as long as he's a Nazir, he's not allowed to drink wine. It's not engendered by a time period. It's not time-related. Mashenkin, in the case of Yom HaKippurim, that's purely time-related. That's called, in the language of the Rogat Shava, Iser Hu Alzman.
What is not so with a Nazir?
Say it again? Oh, so you and I would have said that even a Nazir is not really Aser B'Yayin, right? The Yayin itself is Mutter, but he's got a certain level of Kedusha. If you remember the discussion that we had from the Sukkot Shavua,
yeah.
That's a din in the Gavra, and we pointed out that there are different Rishonim, and then Afkamina we had La'alacha, that's my agenda always, the Gavra, whether a Nazir can drink Yayin Shel Mitzvah, depends upon whether, if it's an Isa Gavra, then Yayin Shel Mitzvah, it doesn't add any new, right? He can't say do a mitzvah with a chetzid isura, but if on the other hand it's only an isa gavra, then now that there's a chiyuv to use this yai for yai shel mitzvah be mutter. So now the Rogat Shabbat wants to say that. Wait a minute, Rabosai, I'm just trying to get down the mathematics here. Okay, so you'll give me a little rope over here, right? So what's the mathematics? He wants to suggest the following. Does a Zar pay Keren V'Chomesh for a Cheftedi Surah that's not only Truma, but it also is an overlap of another Avera? It depends. If the Isur is an Isur Shel Zman, then he has to pay Keren V'Chomesh, and that's why the Rambam says that on Yom Kippur he has to pay Keren V'Chomesh, because it's only an Isur Bizman. When I say only, it's paradoxical, because we're being more machmer on him. We're saying now he has to pay Keren V'Chomesh. But the reason why we're being more machmer on him is because the Isur of Yom HaKippurim falls into the, you know, back into the shadows. It's a low-key Isur as far as the Yayin is concerned, right? The Truma is concerned. He's got an Isur Truma, and for that Isur Truma he has to pay Keren V'Chomesh. And the Isur Yom Kippur, which actually overlaps here, is secondary. Well, why is it secondary? So the Rogat Shabbat says, because it's an Isur Shel Zman. But in the case of Nazir, the Nazir is, for as long as he'll remain a Nazir, let's say he's a Nazir Olam, right? So for the rest of his life, he's enjoined from drinking Yayin, and therefore the Yayin itself is an Isur Al Adavar. What does he mean, Al Adavar?
Okay.
The cheft itself is aser. The yayin itself, the Torah's cheft, is aser to the nazir, and therefore he doesn't pay keren v'chomesh because he's the iser truma, so to speak, is overshadowed by the iser of nazir. Oh, if that be the case, says the Rogat Shavah, I now have a barometer, I now have a way of testing, a litmus test to test the nature of the iser chometz. What happens if on Pesach he has chametz shel truma and he accidentally eats chametz shel truma? Does he have to pay chomesh for the truma? If I assume that chomesh is an Isur atoli bizman like Yom Kippur, then he would pay keren v'chomesh. But if I assume that chomesh is an Isur al adavar, then he would not pay keren v'chomesh. So he says, "V'gabi trumas chomesh mevur lehedja the yeshal of chiv chomesh." Ayin daf lamed aleph amid beis. Take a look in the sugya. In I think it's a ksubas, if I'm not mistaken, on daf lamed aleph amid beis. So how are we defining chomesh? If he has to pay keren v'chomesh, then it's similar to what, Rabosai? not the Yain Shel Nozir, but Yain Shel Yom HaKippurim. It means it's an Iser Atoli Bizman, and it's not an Iser Atzmi. And therefore, the Iser Chametz takes a back, what's it called, a back seat to the Iser of Truma, and therefore he has to pay Keren V'Chomesh. Says the Rogatchava, is it really so that Chometz is only an Iser Atoli Bizman? He says, Be'emes, in truth, that, listen to this, Rabbos, brilliant Chav. Zetalia, I mean, the Rogatchava doesn't need me to say that, but Zetalia, Behach Plukta, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. At the beginning of the second perek on Daf Chav Ches, the Gemara quotes a machlok stream Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon about Chomet Shavuot of Pesach. Daniel, does this sound familiar to you? This is what Daniel was hacking last week. Now I found it in the Rogatchava. But you never lived in Dvinsk.
Rogatchava didn't need me.
He says, what's the machlok stream Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Im chametz liachar pesach asur mea Torah, or it's just a knas derabanan. He says the following: if you're going to argue that chametz is only asur for 7 days, which is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that means after Pesach, Rabbi Shimon says in the Midoraisa, it's mutter. That same chayfetz that was asur now becomes mutter. Then how would you classify it? It's an Isra Toli Bizman. Lemandi Omer de Mutter, according to Rav Shimon, Svirle Da. I don't know why he says Chiyuv here. Forget, if I had the power, I'd cross out that word Chiyuv and I'd say Isra. Da Chiyuv Hu Bizman. But according to.
That's not the right line. It's really the Chiyuv Hu Ba'adav or below Bazman.
Oh, did I skip? Sorry. I skipped. I'm sorry. I skipped. Yeah. So again, if he saw Rav Shimon and Chometz Achar Pesach also ben Torah mut lamandi omer also svile dachiyuv hu bahadavar. Again, I don't know why he used the word chiyuv. I'm not sure it was chiyuv. He just said that iser hu bahadavar v'lo bazman. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even after Pesach the Chometz is aser, how can you tell me that after Pesach it's aser? If it's Toli Bizman, the answer is that the Chefta, or as he calls it, the Davar, is Asur. Ulamad Yomer Mutter, but if you're like Rav Shimon, that after Pesach that same Chometz becomes Heter, Svirale Rav Shimon holds the Achiv Hu Bizman. And therefore the Nafkamina would be whether or not if Chometz was Truma, and the Tsar ate the Chometz Shel Truma b'Shogeg, would he pay Keren V'Chomesh? And the answer is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would not pay Keren V'Chomesh, because then it would be similar to the case of a Nazir who doesn't pay Keren V'Chomesh. But according to Rabbi Shimon, it's an Iser Atoli Bizman, and therefore would be similar to Yom Kippur, and you would not pay Keren V'Chomesh. So it comes out, according to the Rogatchava, that he has a whole analysis here with a litmus test, the nafkemina legabi trumas chametz, and he says it really depends. The two definitions of the iser chametz really depend upon this. So, if I go with the shita of Rabbi Shimon, that the iser of chametz is an iser that's generated by zman, and it only exists what, for 7 days out of the year, what happens if you'd have a chatzi shear of chametz and then it fell into a tarovus? The answer is that since it was baked as a chatzi shir, and you don't know whether or not the shame Iser Chometz emerges, so your suffering is basically on whether or not there is a shame Iser Chometz, then we can be mavatal in the tarovus. But when do we say that we have to suspend the din of bitul tarovus? That would be according to Rav Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, sorry, did I get it right?
Yeah.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not an Iser Atoli Bizman, but rather it's an Iser Liolam. And therefore, it's an Isa Beguf HaDavar. And if it's an Isa Beguf HaDavar, you can't tell me that because it fell in Taromas, it'll be Mutter. And that's one Dvinsker. Now we're going to compare this to another Dvinsker. And that's the Arsameh. All right. What time is it?
1 o'clock.
All right. We'll try to see what we'll try to fit it in very quickly. Alan, you want to hold your question for another minute or so just to see if I can point out...
It would be time out of
so go ahead. I don't want to make it time. Go ahead. You're pushing,
conceptually, you could since the Torah is only concerned with chametz is on Pesach, and during the rest of the year it means nothing. I mean, it's just like any other food in the world. You could say that in fact, from a Torah standpoint, chametz is always aser, except it becomes mutter and when it's not Pesach.
And why would I be tempted to say that sounds counterintuitive? No, why would
because,
I say that chametz is only concerned
with chametz? It's not concerned with. There's no other thing. It's not chametz, and then there's a thing that's called whatever you want to call it, Langendorf. I mean, there's a or whatever.
What count me on that one. Yeah.
I mean that's
that sounds like a Luciano.
It's the name of a bread company that used to exist, but. But I mean, the whole Torah only concerns about chametz. It doesn't talk about non-chametz. I mean, it doesn't tell you. You don't need a special heter to eat non-chametz during the year. So since you're only talking about that, the focus focusing on that from a Torah standpoint, it's always aser, except it becomes mutter when it's not pesach.
So wait a second. So if I understand correctly, you are maintaining that chametz for sure is an isur heftah. It's also the whole year round.
That's right.
And you're not accepting the Rogachev. The Rogachev is saying that you might be right. He's not disagreeing with you, Alan, in the perspective of Rabbi Yehuda. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that chametz could be also the whole year round. You could have a chefetz shel chametz, and that same chametz generates an isur the whole year round. But you're not agreeing with the Rogachev that according to Rav Shimon, who says that that very same chametz becomes mutter, that it's the Rogachev insists that it's an isur atoli bizman. That you don't want to say. You want to say that even Rav Shimon would agree.
Right.
Okay, so that's. But the only thing is, keep in mind that you're going to have now a problem because the sugya says what? The sugya says by trumas chametz that he pays chomesh. Now, according to the Rogachava, the only precedent for paying chomesh in the case of truma sheyesh ba iser acher is only the case of Yom Kippur, and therefore the Rogachev wants to assume that we have a comparison, a parallel between trumas chametz and trumas Yom Kippur, if you will. So I don't know how you're going to explain that parallel. You know, that you have to think about. But what I just wanted to say is, I mean, how many people could say in just another 5 minutes? Is that feasible? Am I? I don't want to rock the boat here, you know. So he says, what happens if you have matzah? Matzah that's asur midin tevel. Can you be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with tevel? So if you take a look at the Rambam in Perek Vav Halacha Zayin, it says, "Ain't other yotzi dechovasa b'achilus matzah shehi asuralo." And the Rambam gives an analogy to the question of bracha because you can't make a bracha on something that's asur. So that thing which is asur, even though now it's matzah and it's leil pesach and I have a mitzvah to eat it, I cannot fulfill my mitzvah of matzah. So the Shagas Aryeh was very upset about this. He says that we have a principle that...
Where are you?
I'm in the Or Sameach, page 146. You have such a page?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you see on the left side it says Halacha Zion?
Yeah.
So what was bothering the... What was the thorn in the lion's paw that bothered the Shagas Aryeh? It was the principle that we have all over Shas called Esei Doche Lo Sase, which is a sugya at the beginning of Masechta Yevamos. In most yeshivas, they start Yevamos, then they get to Daf Hei, and that's where they end Masechta Yevamos, because it takes them about a half a year to go through the sugya of Esei Doche Lo Sase. So one of the most profound comments on the sugya in Yevamos of Esei Doche Lo Sase is why am I not allowed or why am I not able to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with something that's asur? After all, I have a mitzvah to eat the matzah. Why wouldn't the essay be doche losas? And to answer this question, Rav Meir Simcha takes it upon himself to study the Bavli and the Yerushalmi and try to answer this question. And he says the following. He says on line 4, Lo matzinu bebavli diyidche essay deachila Losa said lechol dover aser vatame. We don't find anywhere in the Bavli a basis that would justify the Shagasari's premise that essay dochalosa should apply when there's a mitzvah to eat something which is aser. On the contrary, if you look a chola, he says, is something different. There, the chola tells me that not that the mitzvah is docha, but that the Torah allows me, in the case of a chola, to eat this iser. But where do we find that a mitzvah would allow me to eat a dover aser? He says, you know, the Shagasari has a point here, but it's against the Bavli. Now, again, we have to still figure out why. What happens over here? When do we say esse dochalosa? And when do we say that since the Heftar Nisura, he's not allowed to eat it, even though it's a mitzvah? Why not say, because of the mitzvah, it's esse dochalosa? And he says the following. He says, lo yitachen diavur kiyuma esse, for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah, that we would eat a dover asur. We can't eat a dover asur. We are prevented from eating this dover asur. Mechefetz Hashem, because Hashem doesn't want us to eat a chefetz asur. Where do we find esei dochalosa? Said that's a different story. He says we're not allowed to break a bone of the carbon pesach, but yet we have to eat the entire carbon. Now inside the bone there's a marrow. It's called a moach. And the only way you can get access to the moach of the etzem is by breaking the etzem. Here we're going to apply the principle of esse dochalosa. Because if it's impossible to fulfill the esse with regard to the moach, again, that's a different lumdus that we have to get into, but that's going to be the second half of our discussion about what's called a chovas chefter. But in any event, we're talking about the mitzvah of eating what? Of eating the moach, and there's no way that he can eat the moach of the etzem without breaking the etzem. So the essay of eating the moach will override the losase of shviras haetzem. And the question is why is that allowed? And if it is allowed because of essay docha losase, then why not apply the same thing here? The only way I can eat the matzah is by violating the iser tevel. Let's say the matzah is tevel. Why can't I eat the matzah? Why not say essay docha losase?
It's within the same mitzvah. It's within the same. Within eating carbon pesach is a merch. It's all within the same way. Tevel and
you want to say it's like mitzvah of a kach. Maybe that's the way the Torah gave the mitzvah. I see, but that's not going to help you in the next case. It might help you in that case, but although the Gemara says esei dochalosa, but ugdola mizu, he says even further than that. What happens a sugyan zvachim if basar kodesh is nivla but basar shel pigul? So you have psul and you have mitzvah, and there was a blia in the basar shel mitzvah of psul. And the Gemara itself raises the possibility of nesei esei deachilas ksheira velitche losa se deachilas psula. Why not apply the principle of esei docha losa se? Now wait a second. At this point, Taman, this case in front of us, and again, it's not like you said, Daniel, before, that you know there's always an etzem and there's always a mitzvah of an iser of shviras haetzem. Here, it's a coincidence, an overlap of iser and heter. There's an iser to eat the pigul. There's a heter to eat and a mitzvah to eat the basar kshera. But ha iser hu rak ba meshen nivla. The iser is already bolua. So you have this one object in which you want to fulfill the mitzvah, but in essence you're violating the Isra Achila of Psulei Mekdoshim. Im kein, the Amrinon, the mitzvah all of Lechol Basar Kodesh, Va Basar Sha'ochelu Kodesh. Rameir Simcha assumes that you have two entities here. Right? What we call Shechinit, if you remember that word. Right? In other words, you have Basar Kodesh, and you have Basar Pasul. He says, "Ha Basar Shochel Shu Hegdesh Shu Kodesh." Is that a mitzvah? El Shemuchrach Avur Ze Lechol Gam Ha Pasul. Inadvertently, and by the very nature of this mixture, he's going to have to eat that which he's enjoined from eating, the possible. Then we apply the principle of esse docha lo sase. It's not Rabosai that he's being mekayim the esse through the achilas iser. The achilas iser is coincidental. It's mukrach. He has no choice. Do you follow what I'm saying? There's no doubt that he's going to be eating the basar pigul. But as far as the basar kosher is concerned, he's eating basar kodesh. The mitzvah, the essay, is not in any way colliding with the achila of the chepetz di sura. So as far as fulfilling his mitzvah is concerned with regard vis-a-vis the basar kodesh, that's fine. Inadvertently, he's going to have to violate a losasa, so then we can activate the principle of esse docha losasa. That's okay, says Rabbeinu Simcha. That I don't have a problem with. But he says, in the case of a chefta di sura of tevel, and now this tevel is matzah, and he wants to be makayim the mitzvah of matzah with the tevel itself, that's not acceptable. V'lo yisratzel lifnei kono d'achilas mitzvahs matzah if he's eating kelayim or tevel. So in the case of shviras etzem, he's doing a pu'ula of shviras etzem, and he has to do that pu'ula in order to eat the mach. But he's eating the mach, and the mach is a chefetz de tera. Insofar as fulfilling his mitzvah, he needs inadvertently to violate a losasa, so now we can activate the principle of esse docha losasa. But in the case of matzas tevel, there he's coming to be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah with a chefetz di sura that he cannot do.
You mean if there was some good matzah there, then it would be okay?
If he had two separate entities, one was matzah and one was tevel, or one was matzah and one was kelayim, then we would apply the principle according to Rav Meir Simcha of esse docha lo sase. As far as the matzah that's not kelayim, that's not tevel, he has a mitzvah, and now he would have to violate a lav in order to do that mitzvah, then we apply the principle of esse docha lo sase. But when the cheft itself that he wants to use for a mitzvah is itself a chefta di sura, that is possible for the mitzvah. So again, I see.
How is that fakir?
Why?
Because if the actual assay coincides with the isur, so seicha. But if it's coincidental, then it's not.
Again, if it's coincidental, it means that what he's eating is heter, and his ma'aser mitzvah is a full-fledged ma'aser mitzvah. The iser doesn't undermine his ma'aser mitzvah just as a result of the ma'aser mitzvah, or shall we say, as a prerequisite for the ma'aser mitzvah, inadvertently he will have to violate a losaseh, so the essay overrides the losaseh. But if the essay requires that he takes iser into his mouth, and that achilas iser is going to be converted into an achilas mitzvah, that you can't do.
That's not the principle of the chalasas. It's more like it's contaminated.
Correct, and that's why this Rav Meir Simcha Lefianis Daiti is a perfect example of the distinction between an iser gavra and an iser cheftza. Meaning that if you have an iser cheftza, for example, kelayim v'tevel, and then you want to convert and upgrade that chefetz di sura into a chefetz shel mitzvah and make it into matzah's mitzvah, that you can't do. Because a chefetz shel isur cannot serve as a chefetz shel mitzvah. But if, on the other hand, you're doing a mitzvah without... Right, and then the principle of esse docha losa will not kick in. When does esse docha losa? So that's when you have a pure esse, meaning the esse itself is on a chefetz de tera, and you're eating the moach of a korban pesach, you're eating the basar kodesh, then, for the sake of the essay, we'll override a lav, and you'll break the bones of the korban pesach, or you'll eat the psulei hamikdashim here of the pigul. That's fine, because then essay is dochalos asem, but you can't take a chefta di sura and convert it into a chefta shel mitzvah, because the chefta di sura now, in a sense, invalidates that object for being used for the purpose of a mitzvah, as he says, "Ein ritzono shall mokum," in all the fancy things. So, Rabbi, what I'd like to ask you to do, if you can, I mean, those will be with me tomorrow at least, if you can make a note of the bottom here, ach, the paragraph that starts ach, so we can immediately conclude our analysis of Rav Meir Simcha. You should also have received a piece from our favorite Rosh Hashiva, Mrs. Zalman Meltzer in the Evan Ozel. You have that.
Yeah.
And we're going to put this all together with the Sofnas Paneach in Yitz Hashem, B'li Neder. And finally, we have a mimer here from Rabbi Yosef Engel, and that's going to round off our limud in Yitz Hashem, if we have time for Muktzah. I'm not sure. Do we have time tomorrow for Muktzah? I don't know. We'll see how it works. I have Rabbi Mega here in Shubas about Muktzah.
I'm for a couple of days.
It's endless here. I don't know. I would say maybe if anybody wants to, it's Klal Yud, and it's an endless piece here. You might want to photocopy the first, say, 3 or 4 pages. I don't know. I'm not sure.
What do we see?
Tomorrow we meet at 2.
What time is Mincha now?
Mincha is now.